both men have cooperated with the Deloitte investigation and with the private commissioner. They've handled the information over and promised they've not shared that information with anyone else. In addition, testing so far has shown that there was no irregular activity that maps to the same download patterns as that of Mr. Ng and his associate, giving us some confidence that the system hasn't been breached by anyone else. The exposure means people's privacy was breached because MSD failed to keep the information safe. However, the risk of harm is extremely low as the information was not distributed. People can also be reassured that Deloitte found that the Ministry's IT case file systems for all its service lines were protected, including work and income, child, youth and family, seniors and StudyLink. Deloitte found after testing that the material downloaded from the kiosk by Keith Ng and his associate was confined to a limited amount of information and that was stored on MSD's corporate files in the main invoices. As PDF files, they were unable to be seen on a work and income kiosk. The men needed to search for the files and download them to be able to read them. Nevertheless, this should never have been able to happen. In the main, there were four key technical breaches that led to the security breach. First of all, the ability to map network drives was not restricted on the kiosks. Then there was a lack of separation between the kiosks and the Ministry's core network. The kiosks operated as an authenticated user of the network Active Directory domain. And finally, some shares containing sensitive information within scanned copies of invoices were not appropriately restricted. It's clear from the report that network separation was the most critical factor and keeping the kiosk safe from attack. The Deloitte investigation shows that senior managers were never given the opportunity to assess the risk and take action to address it. From a management perspective, there seems to have been slack and sloppy internal processes and follow-up. There were serious deficiencies of project information and the interpretation of risk management policies. The paperwork, which was also seriously lacking, seems to show grossly inadequate follow-up, and as a result, network separation as a proposal dropped off the radar. There were a number of opportunities where security issues, including the need for network separation, were raised. It seems people woefully underestimated the risk of a malicious attack. Because there had never been an attack, people appear to have downplayed the risk and left a gap in which servers with corporate documents could be accessed and downloaded from the kiosks. It's important to note that the documents which were invoices could not be read on the kiosks. The Deloitte report tells us that the explicit threats and the network risks identified by Dimension Data were not addressed, and that senior management were not made aware of the consequences of failing to separate the kiosks from the MSD network. In terms of people's privacy, we are fortunate that the risk of harm from this is extremely low, because there were only two people who looked at a limited number of invoices. Both men returned all the information, and they have assured us and the Privacy Commissioner that they have not distributed it to anyone else. Of the 7,300 odd items on the USB stick, there were around 1,400 items that did contain some personal information, such as a person's name and or date of birth, and some description of the medical and legal service that was purchased. The vast majority of these had very little information in them. Of all the items downloaded, invoices relating to 8 children and 2 adults contained highly sensitive information. In the case of these 10 people, we will be working on how best to respond to them on a case-by-case basis. We're following the Privacy Commissioner's guidelines in determining who may have suffered harm from this breach. Sarah had some invoices in the system. They've been given all of their information, and they will be managing their response directly with their suppliers. There was no information from the Office of the Commissioner for Children or the Families Commission. Now, while I'm satisfied that there has been very little actual harm from this security breach, there is no doubt there was potential for a major privacy breach, and I want to apologise to New Zealanders for that. Around 68 people contacted us who were concerned about personal information stored with us. I'm glad we've been able to reassure those people that their information was not disseminated or shared. It's also important to remember that our Tier 1 systems, that is MSD's actual case file systems, were never under threat through the kiosk breach. I want to touch on the issue of accountability. I want to make it clear that I am holding people accountable for this very serious breach of our corporate system. However, I need to do this in a fair and equitable way. I have launched 4 employment investigations at this stage. I won't be drawn on the details of these, as they need to run their course before I can determine next steps. Deloitte have begun work today on phase 2 of this review, which will assess the appropriateness and effectiveness of the Ministry's wider IT security. It will also look at our policies, governance, capability, as well as our culture. The review will be completed by the end of November and feed into the wider IT security review being carried out by the government's CIO. Let me just finish with this. The breach was unacceptable. It was fixed within hours. People will be held accountable. But that will be done fairly and squarely. The privacy breach had a very limited impact. For those people who have been affected, we will do the right thing. I'll take questions now.
Those people being held accountable, does that include you?
I'm accountable and focused for making sure that we respond appropriately, and I'm pleased to say that the Deloitte report does indicate that the response to the breach and the shutting down of the kiosks and the approach from there has been appropriate and sound. Focusing very much on looking forward to make sure that whatever comes out of phase 2 of the review and whatever lessons we learn from here are appropriately implemented.
What sort of role are those people whose jobs are being investigated? What role do they hold?
I'm not prepared to reveal that information.
How senior are they?
They are across a range of roles within the ministry.
Are they managers?
I'm not going into detail around what roles they're in.
Was it because they were aware of the security risks? Is that why they're under investigation?
There's a range of reasons, but at the heart of it is whether or not they acted appropriately with respect to the information that they had.
How far up the chain did it go in terms of the assessment of the risks associated with the kiosks?
Well, look, Murray might like to comment on that with respect to the report, but the report makes it clear that at the heart of this was a failure to appropriately determine the risk and then to escalate it to people that could have made that decision. So in that respect, it never got to the level of seniority that I would have expected. Murray, did you?
Yeah, the information around the security risks was largely held within the IT security team, the project team that was working on the kiosk project. And so there's no evidence of escalation beyond that point.
That 10 cases where quite severe privacy information was revealed, why not just apologise to them directly straight away?
Well, that's part of what we're considering now, and Rupert might like to comment on that, because we've been working with the Privacy Commissioner's Office. Now that we've identified those 10 people, we need to go through a process to determine exactly what the nature of the contact is and how we go about resolving that. Rupert?
As Brendan said, we're dealing with 8 children and 2 adults. We need to work through people's representatives. We need to do it appropriately for them.
Would compensation be an option?
Well, we'll discuss the effect with their representatives on them.
So it's an option.
What is being done to enhance security on the kiosks?
Well, the kiosks aren't in operation. So for a start...
But eventually they're going to have to come back online.
Well, that's what we're looking at. To what extent can we get the kiosks up and running again, and what will be the security requirements? I can give you an assurance that they will not be going live again unless we are 100% sure to the highest possible standards that the security requirements are met, and that may involve full network separation. That's part of the options that are being looked at, but in the meantime, the kiosks remain offline.
So how concerned are you that this might have spread to other information systems within the ministry?
Well, there's nothing in the Phase 1 report that would indicate that level of concern, but that will continue to be looked at through Phase 2.
Will any action be taken about those?
I mean, in general terms, we apologise publicly in relation to that. I mean, that information shouldn't have been available. But in terms of the assessment and the risk, we won't be proactively approaching each of those individuals. Where people have come to us and expressed concerns, we'll be able to, or we have been able to confirm with them if their circumstances, if their information is contained within them.
Can you just elaborate a little bit more on what you find as highly sensitive as opposed to not highly sensitive?
It was really a range of criteria moving up from how much information was contained on a particular item, and in the highly sensitive categories we had some detailed information about people's circumstances contained within an invoice, but there was sufficient detail contained within it for it to be particularly sensitive for those people concerned.
So I assume something like the fact that someone owes a specific amount of money to PSD or is being investigated for fraud is not considered highly sensitive under that definition?
It's considered personal, and it's considered personal information, but in terms of it being highly sensitive, no, they haven't got to the top category.
So if people want to know if their privacy was breached, they essentially have to ring Linds and ask them.
We've had, as indicated in my statement, we've had 68 people contact us and ask that question.
Do you think if you're one of these 1,400 people with privacy potentially breached, what would you like to know? Don't you have a duty to let these people know?
Well, we have a duty to make an assessment of the extent of risk of harm, and that's what we've done. Where we think that's of a sufficient sensitivity, that's when we're going to proactively tell people.
Why not just tell all those 1,400 people?
Well, there's a balancing between the impact of coming to tell people that their information is gone and the risk that's with it. And the criteria that we applied was the details that were in that and the extent to which the information had been released. And I think that we're fortunate to that extent that the information was promptly returned through the Privacy Commissioner and that we've got undertakings about the security of that information. It didn't go any further.
Brendan, you must be, how are you feeling about stage two? I mean, stage one, as you say, has been pretty damning. This next stage is going to look at the whole sort of environment. How are you feeling about that?
Well, look, I see it as an opportunity. If we've got some gaps in our systems, we need to make sure that we close them. And if that's gaps in terms of the application of policies or even the application of IT security, I want to know about that. So there's an opportunity in this next phase in continuing to work with IT and Deloitte to get to the bottom of that and make whatever improvements are necessary to restore confidence.
Do you have the budget to close those gaps though if you do find them? Because in this report it indicates that perhaps some of those security breaches were fixed when you know the risk was first highlighted because of budget concerns.
Part of the problem there is that there was no adequate assessment done of what the cost might be, for example, around network separation, so that anyone could make a decision about what the trade-offs were likely to be in terms of the cost versus the risk.
There is a figure, like, 101,000.
Not sure what that relates to, Stephen.
So is it fair to say, though, that there would be a culture of trying to keep costs down, and obviously separation of the networks would have cost a lot more money than the option they went for, and
well,
so that's what people went with?
Every organisation operates in an environment where you're looking at the cost-benefit trade-offs in terms of making decisions around systems. We're no different to any public or private sector organisation in that sense.
But so these are IT people. You would expect that they would have a fair idea of what kind of risks would be.
There was nothing, Murray might want to comment on it, but there was nothing with respect to the investigation that gave me any concern that decisions were made on the basis of resource allocation or cost.
And that's correct. Clearly, separating the network, either physically or logically, it does cost money, but it's not of a magnitude that's beyond the capability of the ministry to actually do that if they so choose to prioritise it.
But even in the final business case, there was no discussion of security risks at all.
There was security risks, and again, Murray might want to comment, but there are security risks that were detailed up to certain stages of the project, and I think that's one of the discoveries from the investigation. The idea of network separation, which was a very sound proposal, dropped off the radar, and that was is unexplained.
So really, I mean, it's down to the actions of these few managers. I mean, you've kind of already touched on this, but how would you describe their inaction, given these emails, these meetings, these three separate warnings?
Well, that's part of the employment investigations, and more generally, to make sure that across the ministry, that we've got people that are taking appropriate action and determination of risk, that they escalate issues to the right level, and that they make sure that those sort of trade-offs around risk and service delivery are well understood. And unfortunately, that did not happen in this case.
That figure, it's on the front page of part 15, 199,000 to put security license on every router. So hence, one possible remedy has been quantified.
Yeah, there was no, as I said though, with respect to network separation, there was no detailed work or costs that were done associated with that.
How can you be sure that no one else has accessed this information? We were told by the minister throughout the only way they could know was if someone came forward.
Yes. Technically, that's true. We have done analysis as best we can to determine whether there's been any other download pattern similar to what we saw with Mr. and Mr. Bailey. There has not been to date. We will continue to do that testing. But again, I think, as I said at the first press conference a fortnight ago, if people have information, we would be grateful if they came forward.
If somebody does try a similar thing again, is there a criminal sanction? I have in mind that the relevant clause of the Crimes Act has an exception that says if you're allowed to access a computer system for any purpose, it is not a crime for you to access it for another purpose. It's a curious exclusion, 262 section, subsection 2.
I might refer that one to my chief legal advisor.
You didn't know
that. I haven't practiced law for a while. Rupert?
There's certain criminal provisions that as you say, are contained within the Crimes Act, specifically related to accessing computer systems. It's not up to me to determine whether these fit within that criteria. I think that there are agencies who look at that, and the police have specialised agencies focused on that.
Murray, the report shows there was access or mapping done from the kiosk on the 4th of October, and you can't confirm who made those connections.
That's right, it's not technically feasible to confirm who.
So have you established whether it's one of the two gentlemen who reported this?
Neither of the two gentlemen believe that there was access by them on that date.
So there could have been a third person, a third?
It's possible.
Do you know what was accessed on that date?
Similar files has occurred on the 5th of October.
So there could be another person out there who's got some information that says come.
There could be, or there could be some confusion around the dates with the individuals. So I wouldn't rule that either.
So given that the employment investigations will be specifically talking to the people who make these decisions, are we ever going to find out about why they didn't act, why they didn't escalate it up the chain, why they didn't respond as they should have?
Look, I'll have to consider that once we've been through the investigations as to what extent that we can relay that when they're concluded. I can't say at this point.
You today in the report both talk about the lack of escalation up through, but are you satisfied that, looking through the documents you've released today, that January 2006 risk management procedures that you've got in place, that the Risk and Assurance Business Unit and the various managers fulfilled their responsibility to alert people, make sure that information was flowing to them?
Well, that will be part of what we look at in phase two, but with respect to the, I know whether Murray wanted to make any particular comment, but I'm satisfied that if the individuals had done an appropriate risk analysis and escalated it to the right levels of governance, that we may be very, very well not sitting here today.
I guess I'm asking the question the other way around, though. Are you satisfied that the managers and the people who are mandated to identify risk and advise this is the your part, how that risk should be managed, that they fulfilled their role in alerting those managers, those IT people who didn't escalate it, to what they should do?
There's nothing in the report that gives me that sort of concern, Vernon. However, again, in phase two, we'll be making sure that when we look at the application of policies and the culture across the ministry around risk management, that that's part of it.
So you're trying to figure out whether the stuff-up comes down to four people or something like that?
I want to be able to determine whether this is an aberration with a particular project or whether there is, you know, whether there are other issues that we need to make sure that we get on top of. But either way, we'll be making sure in terms of policies and procedures that we're tightening up considerably.
What's your feeling about that?
Too soon to say. But there's nothing that came through phase one that gives me a concern any more than what I had, you know, at the beginning of the process.
Are there any plans to look at external access to the government? So just looking at the meeting of the security review here that says, agree that there's a problem related to the wider USD network that was specifically related to permissions to access documents within the network.
Sorry, what was the question?
Are there plans to look at internal access? Who else might have inappropriately accessed that data within the industry network?
The data that was on those particular kiosks?
Yes.
Well, that was part of the access and the download patterns that we've looked at in phase one and are continuing to test for.
So that wasn't just people accessing from kiosks, but also internally within the network?
The focus is on access through the kiosks only for this particular phase.
You have to remember, though, there would have been many people within the ministry who were quite legitimately accessing that information for their jobs.
Would there have been people apart from the accounting, the invoicing team, that had legitimate access, legitimate reason to access those data?
Possibly, if people had authorities to sign off invoices, etc., and they were making decisions. But I mean, yeah. Okay, I think that's all. Thanks very much.